I was studying Islamic philosophy and then meditation, shamanism, Tibetan Buddhism. So bringing all these together and bringing knowledge of psychology, human behavior, and meditation together to create a coaching program was kind of where I was being led to.
Welcome to the Self Starter Podcast, a place where stories are shared from women just like you who left the colorless corporate world with an idea and a passion and ran with it to create the vibrant life they always wanted to live. My name is Megan Tobler, and every week I'll be bringing real women to you to share their entrepreneurial journey in hopes of inspiring you to take the very first step of your own. Sometimes the hardest part is just to start. So come on, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. Let's go. Get ready for an enlightening conversation as we sit down with Jenna Lee, an author and the visionary behind Lotus Coach. From shamanic adventures in South Korea to her transformative eight-pillar coaching approach, Jenna's story is a captivating journey of self-discovery and growth. Join us as we delve into the depths of spirituality, meditation, and facing our inner demons, all with an entrepreneurial twist, of course. If you're ready to take yourself to the next level, then this episode is for you. Jenna, your mission is something that I can get behind 100%. It's really to bring true happiness into this world. So thanks for hopping on today and bringing in some of this happiness to the self-starter community.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk with you because the setup, like I said last time, it's amazing.
Thank you. Huge kudos to my husband there for the whole self-starter setup. He definitely made some huge brownie points last Christmas when I got that. For those people that can't see it behind me, I do have a self-starter sign. We're trying to make it a little bit more official over here. But Jenna, you are an author, you're a certified coach, and you have been seen on things like ABC 15 and the New York Weekly as a meditation expert. Tell us a little bit more about your business and who you are.
Yeah, so my name is Jenna, and I've been an avid meditator since college. And I taught a meditation class to over 100 students when I was in college using several spiritual classics like I'm That and Emptiness Dancing. And after college, I moved to South Korea to work. And while I was working, I was full-time kind of doing the spirituality, shamanism, meditation stuff anytime that I wasn't working. And what shamanism is, it's an ancient healing tradition practiced by a lot of indigenous people. So that includes South Koreans and Tibetans. And in shamanism, there's a belief in an unseen world of ancestral spirits and gods and demons and things like that. And these spirits can be manipulated by shamans through altered states like mantra meditation. When you do that a long time, in Islamic times, like people would dance in a circle and get really dizzy, and then that would alter their state and they would, you know, get in touch with their spiritual nature. So there's a lot more we can say about shamanism, but essentially I was basically studying this whenever I wasn't working. And towards the tail end of my time in Korea, I kept getting this feeling like I need to come back to the US, which I did in 2021. And then in January 2023, I started Lotus Coach to bring together my knowledge of the different spiritual traditions that I'd been studying. So briefly, we're going to touch on it later, but I was studying Islamic philosophy and then meditation, shamanism, Tibetan Buddhism. So bringing all these together and bringing knowledge of psychology, human behavior, and meditation together to create a coaching program was kind of where I was being led to.
I think that's really beautiful. And I've had a few coaches on so far, but none of them have taken the spiritual route like you have. And so I'd like to really place a little bit of an emphasis on that spiritual component, because from our conversations prior to even hitting record, you actually got into spirituality in high school.
Yeah, I did. I know that's really early.
No, not at all. I guess I'm just curious, how did you become interested in spirituality in general?
Okay. Actually, I was a very 3D oriented person. That's what we call it in the spiritual community. It's there's the 3D and then there's the 5D, which is the spiritual aspect. I just use those terms because they're easy to understand and convey. But I was a very 3D person. I was focused on school and getting a good job and everything. But I was actually in the high school library when I was 17 years old. And I came across the Quran and I was just curious. So I just opened the Quran and I read the first verse, which is Fatiha. And in that, it talked about walking the road of truth. And I was suddenly struck by that phrase. And I was kind of like almost held in place. Like it was like a choice was being laid out before me. Like I guess it would be a crossroads in my life, where it was like, are you going to walk the road of truth or are you just going to go on your path that you've been going on? And in that moment, I kind of decided, okay, I want to walk this road of truth because I want to know what the truth is. Like I've always been kind of a truth seeker. So it's been interesting to me, that idea of truth. And that kind of led me down some meandering roads that ultimately helped me to heal a lot of my family's generational trauma and also to change my family dynamics even. And that's why, you know, I'm doing the coaching now, because I see how powerful these concepts are. And I've kind of distilled all the spiritual stuff into concepts that are focused on beliefs and like deconstructing beliefs in many different ways instead of on like the spiritual supernatural aspect.
And you mentioned that it posed the question, are you wanting to walk down the road of truth or do you want to just kind of go along the path that you were already taking? What was the path that you were already taking and kind of how did you decide to put that behind you and really go towards that truth?
Okay. So the path I was already taking was actually like a very materialistic path. Like my parents were very materialistic, for lack of a better word. They were very focused on me getting into certain college, you know, getting a good job, making a lot of money, like capitalistic, materialistic things, right? And it wasn't really focused on like spirituality or like deep questions about life. We kind of just accepted the societal expectations of life. And that was the road I was on. Actually, I went to boarding school for high school. And when I entered boarding school, there were a lot of kids who were like really smart and like much smarter than me. Like some of them, I'm sure, were geniuses. And that kind of really hit my ego. And I was like, wow, you know, it doesn't matter how good you are, there's always going to be someone better. And that was like part of the process of me getting away from that materialistic side to more spiritual side. I hope that answers your question.
Definitely. And to have this realization at the young age of 17, I mean, what a blessing, because some people can go their whole lives and never really have that aha moment. And you realize really young that, you know what? There's always going to be someone that may be smarter than me, maybe is further ahead along in their journey, but you didn't let it stop you from just living your own truth. And I think that's such an important life lesson that we all really could use. So you went through this at college, you opened the Quran, you really were enlightened into the spiritual world. And I know you talked about then you went on to spend some time in South Korea. Did you go there straight after high school or did you decide to kind of take your parents' path for a while and go to the college first? Like, what did that look like for you?
Oh, yeah. Definitely, I went to college first. It wasn't really just my parents' path. It's like in Korean society and, you know, in that high school, it's like just expected to go to college. So I did that. And in college, I kind of got away from the Islamic philosophy into meditation. So I think that was also an important aspect of it because the college that I went to was very progressive. And that progressive nature helped to also break me out of those rigid structures of thought that I was still in, even though I had this like realization of like, you know, I'm going to walk the road of truth. It's a process, you know, it's not like suddenly I'm like Gandhi. I have to like kind of deconstruct those things that I've been taught or like learned through my family and teachers and society.
Yeah. So at what point did you decide that you wanted to take the leap and move to South Korea for a little bit?
Yeah. So after college, I just moved right away to South Korea. So I took about 8 months break between college and, you know, moving to Korea. But during that time, like I found the job and then we were setting up like my housing in Korea and everything. Yeah, just immediately afterwards, I went there.
That's so cool. And so you said you were working a job as well as you got into shamanism. So how did the blending of those two occur? And really, how did you balance both of them?
Yeah. Okay. That's a really good question. So when I was not teaching, that was all I was doing. Like I was just doing the shamanism, the spirituality, the studying. Like there were a lot of like spiritual books that, you know, we had in our communal library. And so I was reading those. So it wasn't really a balance, to be honest, because I think, you know, we say we should balance friends and work and, you know, other things, but all I did was work and spirituality. That's why I say, like, essentially, besides the working, I was living like a monk for 5-6 years.
Wow. It was more of like an integration into your life. It really consumed your life. I mean, if you're going to consume your life with something, what an amazing thing to be able to immerse yourself into.
Oh, thank you for saying that. That's so nice.
Yeah, of course. No, I mean, I find this topic so fascinating because it's not every day that you meet someone that has gone through the experience of shamanism. So that initially when you and I connected, I immediately was drawn to that specific topic because I've never met another shaman. This is absolutely incredible. So the fact that you had those experiences, that you were able to really immerse yourself into the whole experience within South Korea for those years, and then take that knowledge and apply it to your coaching business, I think that really sets you apart from other coaching programs that are out there. It's very unique. You're bringing a really different perspective to the work you're doing. So I'm curious, like, obviously you spent this time in South Korea balancing work and shamanism, and then you decided to come back to the States in 2021. And it wasn't until 2023 that you decided to found Lotus Coach. So at what point did you decide that you really wanted to start something of your own and bring in some of these learnings from your shamanism time?
Yeah. So I came back to the US November 2021. So it was kind of at the tail end of 2021. And then for 2022, I was spending my time actually writing my first book, the spiritual fiction book called Heavenly Creatures. So that was what I was doing. I was writing it and then I was editing it. And then I also went to Nepal with my meditation teacher to finish the end of the book because I was having a lot of trouble with the ending. And that study was integral to finishing that book. And then I published that book in January 2023. And based off of that, I realized like I should start my coaching business now because this is a good time because I just published this book and, you know, doing that together would be a good thing.
Holy cow, you were busy. I mean, you wrote a book within a year and published it. And I think what's really interesting there too is that you recognized that you were having a little bit of difficulty finishing the book and you really embraced the spirituality component and went to Nepal, which from what I have heard kind of through the grapevine, Nepal is a very spiritual place, correct?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So really getting in tune with that environment and really kind of hoping that the answers come to you. Is that kind of what the purpose was when you went to Nepal with your coach?
Yeah, it was like hoping that the answers would come, but also shamanism is still based on a belief system in entities and spirits. And I felt like there was a disconnect between that and like regular society. And my book was also focused on like going from religious thinking and philosophy to more non-dual spirituality. And non-dual means like beyond good and bad, or like beyond spirituality and materialism, like beyond the opposites. So I was having trouble distinguishing what is true and then what is a belief. And shamanism is more based on belief. Mm-hmm. So there was that aspect in the middle when it was like, so it goes from like religious philosophy to more shamanistic stuff. But I wanted to write something that was completely like true. And the ending, the reason I was having trouble with that was I didn't want it to end on like fluff. Like, I don't know, like I didn't want it to end there. Like I wanted it to be clear. And I found that clarity through my meditation teacher. And he invited me to Nepal because he was going there to get treatment actually for his cancer. And unfortunately, he passed away before I could publish my book in January. He passed away right before I published my book. So that was a little difficult for me because I wanted to share it with him, but I obviously couldn't.
I'm so sorry to hear that, but I also feel like he knows, and that probably, I mean, given that you are such a spiritual person, I'm sure that he has been along through the journey with you and has really celebrated all of your accomplishments and the release of that book in January of 2023. Well, this year, actually.
Yeah.
Crazy. Where has the time gone? I think that that's really beautiful what you were able to do, and that you recognized that you really wanted to end on truth and not just fluff there. So you really were really, really strong in the belief and the vision that you had for this book. I know you said once it was published earlier this year, you decided that now is the time. I want to go into coaching. Why did you feel now was the time to really go all in on this? And what was kind of the first step that you took in getting started?
Actually, so my intuition was kind of calling me in that direction. So at the time when I was publishing, I'd been kind of waiting, because the publishing process is like, I write and edit, but then when it's being published, like, I don't really have a hand in it. And I was just kind of waiting. And in this period of waiting, I was like, okay, what do I do now? And then after publishing, this kind of niggle came to me, and it was like, okay, well, do this now. And it was like a little voice inside or something. So that's why I went in the coaching direction. And so what I did was I just set up a site. I contacted friends and family, told them about coaching, and, you know, I got a couple of clients in that way. And then I, you know, went in the marketing direction. It's been a journey.
And I know that today you are doing business and relationship coaching. Did it start that way at the very beginning?
Yeah, it was always relationship coaching, but I didn't do business coaching at first. But I found that a lot of clients who came to me wanted kind of like a business organization or clarity sessions. So that's why I transitioned into that, because that's part of what I did. But I am still mostly passionate about relationships and going from unhealthy relationships to healthy relationships. That's like my passion. But I also, you know, work well with like finding clarity, because the way that I coach is I will listen and then ask questions that draw out the answer from the client. And so I think that's very helpful for people in finding their own clarity about their life.
I think that's like the epitome of a great coach, is like, you don't want to tell people what to do. You need to guide them to be able to come to the answers themselves. So I love that you're doing that. But I did want to ask a clarifying question really quickly here. When you're talking about relationships, are you talking about like personal relationships or interpersonal relationships?
Oh, I'm talking about both, actually. So definitely like our relationship with ourselves is most important. And, you know, that's a really difficult piece. Actually, in that aspect, I could go into it, but anyway, like self-love, right? It's very hard sometimes. But then that bleeds into the interpersonal. And I focus more on the interpersonal, but I find that the interpersonal is always linked to the person, like my relationship with myself.
I believe that in order to really love others, we really have to love ourselves first. Otherwise, there's really going to lead to a host of other problems. Like, you can't really solve other things unless you really solve everything that's inside first. So I love that you've been able to really work on both, because self-love is just as important as loving others. Because I mean, we are literally in our bodies for eternity, for our entire lives. So we have to love the body that we were given and really work with what we've got here. So I know that you work with your clients in a very specific manner. It's an 8-week program, and you talk about the 8 different pillars. Can we just dive into what these 8 different pillars are and really what it looks like for someone who is looking to dive into relationship and business coaching with you?
Yeah, sure. And thank you for that question. Yeah. So I'll just walk through like what each pillar consists of. So we do 8 sessions in 8 weeks, and there's also emailing between sessions. So whenever a client has a question, they can email me and I'll answer in 24 hours. But each session has a different focus. And the first pillar is kind of a life assessment and figuring out someone's vision and their values in their life. Because I find that finding the vision for our lives is based on our values. So if we don't know our values in our life, we might have a vision that's actually based on what society wants for us instead of what we want for ourselves. And we also won't be very motivated to achieve those things. So this is a really important piece, the life assessment. And then pillar two is about mind and emotion management, mostly focusing on rewiring limiting beliefs. And then the third is self-love. Fourth is listening and emotional intelligence, which is kind of the cornerstone of relationships and leadership skills. So how to listen better, how to hold space for others. And this is a very personal thing. So we do have these touch points of like listening, how to resolve conflict, things like that. But everyone knows what they need to be doing, right? It's just that they don't do it or they can't do it. So like after we learn about all this, then we dive into the client's particular situation. And we're again, rewiring the limiting beliefs there. And then pillar five is leadership, communication skills. Six is relationship and healthy boundaries. And these two sessions, we focus on an audit of the relationship and leadership skills. And then again, like diving into the personal situation. And pillar seven is an interesting one because it's embracing your demons. And it's based on a book called Feeding Your Demons by a Buddhist nun, Sultrim Alione. And she wrote about how often people struggle against their demons, but what they really need to do is feed love into their subconscious fears and demons, if you will. Yeah. And then the eighth pillar is just putting it all together, you know, tying up loose ends and continuing what we did for the first seven pillars.
I really love that. And there's a couple of things that I want to dive into a little bit further. Pillar one, you were talking about, it's really about clarity. It's really understanding your values, because your values may be very different than someone else's values. So it's really getting clear on what those are in order to design the life that you're really wanting to live. And that's something that personally I've had to go through recently, is really defining what is it that I value? What is it that I want my life to look like, and designing everything in a way that is really in alignment. I love that you start with that as number one, because without that, you really can't be successful, in my opinion, with the rest of the pillars until you've done the work with pillar number one.
Definitely. Like in society, like we're conditioned in a certain way. We're put into boxes, you know, in work, you're expected to be a certain way. So like people don't know what they want. They don't know themselves that well. And I find like this is a really helpful thing and a highlight of a lot of clients' work with me.
The clarity is so important in order to move and progress forward. And it's really making sure that we're kind of tuning out the outside voices and really listen. I know earlier you mentioned your intuition told you to go into coaching. Well, I think that's something that most of us really need to do a better job at, is listening to that intuition, to those voices that are telling us to go down a certain path, because so many of us push that away. But if we really tune in, those are where the best answers come from. Right. And you said something earlier too about embracing demons. And part of that is really feeding love into the demons themselves. And I think that is really beautiful. So many people are afraid of so many things. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of success. That's a huge one that I've heard recently, is that people are afraid to succeed. So to be able to really understand where that's coming from and feed love into those areas is really great as well. So I'm curious, like, how do you work with people to take these kind of quote unquote demons and really like turn it into love?
Actually, so there is a meditation process based on Tibetan Buddhism that this Buddhist nun has developed. And we use that meditation process in the coaching. And I find that a lot of people have difficulty actually feeding love into it. You know, this is a difficult problem where if someone has not felt unconditional love, they're kind of not able to then love their demons. And that's why I act as a guide. So, you know, if I sense that the person is having trouble, there's a two-step process. First, you make your body into kind of a nectar of love, and then you feed it to your personified demon. And a lot of people have trouble making themselves into that love. Like, this is my thought, because I think they have not felt that love for from others. And, you know, like we need to feel it from others before we can actually give it. And a lot of my coaching is actually based on kind of unconditionally accepting my client. And through that, I hope that they feel love and acceptance and compassion and those things that they may have been missing in their lives. And that's why the feeding demons part comes at the end, because it's very hard if you've never experienced that to actually do this meditation. But it's a work in progress, you know, like I just give it to them and then we can keep working on it. People can get other ad hoc sessions afterwards, like one-on-one, not an 8-week session, but like just a one-time session with me whenever after the 8-week program.
Well, and you incorporate a lot of your learnings from your shamanism days and your learnings from meditation into all these programs. And shamanism and meditation is a practice. And practices are really never perfected because you're constantly improving upon your craft. And so I think what's important to highlight here is that in 8 sessions, like, yes, you can have a very transformative experience, but it still takes work. You still have to implement these practices day in and day out. And to have a resource like you ongoing is really invaluable because sometimes we need that little kind of support system, that little cheerleader, really holding our hand throughout the process to be like, you've got this. Like, let's face these demons. Let's face this love together. And because you are so focused on the meditation, I would like to dive into a little bit of the meditation component here, because I think meditation is this big topic that's out there. And so many of us, myself included, aren't very successful at meditation. And I think that it really just comes down to making it a practice, making it a habit. But I guess for those people that aren't really as, I'm going to use the word practiced again, like you are, how would they even get started with something like meditation?
I want to say I wasn't always practiced and I still have some difficulties during meditation. So the thing about meditation is people think it's where you feel peaceful, but actually meditation is where you're the least peaceful. All of the stuff in your life that you avoid comes up during your meditations. So in regular life, you can avoid it through YouTube or Netflix, do whatever to distract yourself. But as soon as you're meditating, all of those distractions go away and then the real stuff comes up. And so meditation is actually like the arena of like warfare. So I want people to know that and not think that there's something wrong with them if meditation doesn't go well. And I think it might be helpful to have some kind of teacher or resource to rely on as you're meditating. So like the Calm app, or there's a teacher that I know called Adya Shanti, and he's a very well-known spiritual teacher, and his books and audiobooks are great resources to like listen to right before you meditate or during meditation. It's helpful to have that kind of thing to latch on to.
I like the term that you use the term arena of warfare. I feel like that it resonates very well with me, because whenever I've tried to meditate, you think it's going to be this very peaceful experience, which it does. I end the meditation very much rejuvenated and energetic and everything like that and calm. But in the process, you're right. My thoughts are going like, it's like Star Wars in my brain. It's do, do, do. And it's all over the place. But I think it's being able to recognize these and be okay with it. Because like you said, in our regular lives, we can turn on YouTube, we can scroll through the gram, and we can find ways to distract ourselves. But that's just really pushing our kind of problems and our fears aside. By meditating, we're really able to process and to face some of these and really to work through them. And I know you shared a couple of different resources like the Calm app that people can turn to, but you actually host free meditations on Sundays. Can you just tell me a little bit more about that experience? Because I think that might be a really great entryway for some people to be able to work with you.
Yeah, sure. So on Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern time, we meet on Zoom, we meditate together for 30 minutes, and then we have a talking session, like a sharing session after the meditation about how the meditation went and any other concerns that we have related to self-inquiry during those 30 minutes after our meditation.
I think that's really genius that you've been able to combine that, because obviously you love meditation. It's not just something that you love to do. It's really, you embody this into your daily life, your daily practices. So you're not just talking the talk, but you're truly walking the walk here. So I think that's a really great place for people to start, to be able to not only focus on their meditation practice, but also to be able to understand, like, what's your style and what would it really be like to take this a step further and work with you through this 8-pillar coaching program. So love that it's a donation-based program from what I've seen online. So really, really smart and strategic there from a business perspective. Now, obviously you haven't been at this coaching practice too long. It's been about 7 months at this point. However, your experience, it dates back years at this point, because obviously you have all those years where practicing your shamanism and your schooling and all of the spiritual work that you've done that even started in high school. So I'm curious, like, now that you are officially a coach, like, what have you learned in the 7 months since starting your own business?
So that's a really good question. There's so much that I've learned. Entrepreneurship is not an easy journey. It's, you know, being self-employed, like even being a freelancer is different from being self-employed. So I was a freelancer in Korea for a while, and I worked with an agency, but now doing my own, you know, lead generation, marketing, all of that. I have a lot of respect for business owners now, because I had no idea, like, those big companies, like, they all started in this way. So definitely a lot of entrepreneurship insights. I think I've really grown in resilience and grit. And, you know, as you go on, at first you have small difficulties, and later on the difficulties get bigger and bigger and bigger, but it's because you can actually handle that much. So, you know, just seeing myself grow and how much I can handle, that's been really informative and helpful for me.
You mentioned resilience and grit. I think those are two key qualities that you really need as an entrepreneur, because, I mean, I talked about this before, but entrepreneurship is often glamorized. And you know what? Entrepreneurship is hard. We don't talk about it enough that, I mean, you're a one-woman show over here right now. You're figuring it out. I mean, you're looking at these large corporations, and yes, they had to start somewhere, but today they're so successful because they've been able to bring on all these different people to handle different tasks. You are a solopreneur right now. So you are having to figure out all of this yourself. And like you said, these problems are really coming at you little by little, and they get bigger and bigger, but that means that your business is growing. So it's actually a good thing when your problems get bigger and bigger, because that means that you're doing something right.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Yes. Yeah, definitely. I think my business has been growing, and definitely I feel the difference between when I first started and now. Like, I just feel more like grizzled, you know, like whatever comes, I'm like, okay, well, we'll handle it. It's fine. Just everyone calm down. Like,
bring it on.
Yeah.
I've got this world.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, you're definitely bringing it on. You definitely have got this, even grizzly and all, like you said. Now, obviously, like, you shared a little bit about kind of the learnings that you've had along the way, but do you have any advice that you would like to share for someone that's really just getting started in their own entrepreneurial journey?
I'd recommend having a really good support system, first of all. And if you don't, having a good stress management system. So you can't always rely on, you know, maybe your friends and family, because they may not understand your entrepreneurial journey, but having a good emotional regulation of yourself, that's like key. So if you have that down, it'll be fine.
And I think that's where a lot of the meditation comes into play. So for those people that are loving this conversation or just feeling so connected to the spiritual component that your work brings to the table, and they're wanting to really kind of tap into some of that meditation, where would they be able to go and find a little bit more about what you're doing and follow you on all the social channels?
Yeah. So just go to my website, jennalotus.com, JennaLotus.com. And I have all my socials there, and I have the information about the 8-week coaching program.
Wonderful. Jenna, thank you so much for taking the time to share a little bit more about your journey. It really is unlike any conversation that I've had so far. I'm so intrigued, and I know that I am not going to be the only one. So thank you for taking the time to share your story today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's reflect on the profound wisdom shared by Jenna. From her shamanic journey in South Korea to her eight-pillar coaching approach, one key takeaway shines through, and that is the importance of confronting our inner demons. By facing our fears and embracing our vulnerabilities, we open the door to profound growth and transformation. And as an entrepreneur, growth and transformation are exactly what we need. So let me ask you, self-starter, are you ready to face your inner demons? Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Self-Starter Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe to stay up to date on the latest content. Want even more? Be sure to head to selfstarter.com. And remember, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. See you next time.